Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read the first four verses, 1 through 4, this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 this morning. If you are able this morning in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God as we read it? Again, if you're not able to stand, please remain seated. That's not a problem. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Father, I pray you'd bless this message this morning that our pastor's going to bring. Use him to help us. God, we pray the work would be done in our lives to make us appreciate more the resurrection this Easter and appreciate more our lives to live better for you. God, do a work for us today. Help us. And Father, if there's somebody on the internet this morning or in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle that this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate or something so it won't go off in the service this morning. I need to ask you a very important question now to start. And that important question is this. How many of you eat Peeps? Put your hand up in the air. You eat Peeps. I'm not talking about relatives now. I'm talking about those nasty marshmallow candy things. Hold them up. Hold them up. Let me see. Okay, just want to know what kind of heathen I'm working with this morning. Peeps. You're probably still looking for organic Peeps, aren't you? Organic ones. That. One of our boys came in yesterday for visitation time. He had the biggest Peep I ever saw in my life. It was huge. It wasn't a real eatable. It was a stuffed one. And I was going to bring it this morning and show it to you. But anyway, just curious. It has nothing to do with the message. I just wanted to clear a little ground this morning and see where we're at on this Easter Sunday morning. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, you realize that this matter, this truth, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died. It was confirmed when they thrust the spear into his side and it ruptured the pericardium, the sac around the heart, and blood came out. They say that he actually died of a broken heart. It ruptured in his suffering on the cross. They beat him till you couldn't tell he was a human being anymore. Then took him outside the city to a place where criminals are executed. Ladies and gentlemen, the perfect Son of God, executed where criminals are executed. 33,000 people were crucified during the lifetime of Jesus Christ, and he lived 33 years. 1,000 a year there in Palestine, 20 a week. It was very common to see people crucified. It was a horrible, torturous death. And that's where Jesus gave his life for us. He was dead when they took him down from the cross and pulled those nails from his hands and his feet. I was reading in the news again this week in the Philippines, there were 32 people crucified. They took nails and drove them through their hands and their feet. We were in Manila several years ago, and the pastor took us out to see a crucifixion. The man we saw crucified, I don't know how many years ago that was now, was crucified again on Friday, the 32nd time he's let people drive nails through his hands and his feet and hang him up on a cross, to reenact the crucifixion and to atone for his sins. And he was up there about 5 minutes, took him down. Jesus, it was hours. He struggled for every breath that he took. And then he gave his life. And when he was dead, ladies and gentlemen, there is no question Jesus Christ was dead. They took him down and they took him to a tomb, wrapped him in burial cloth with a 100-pound weight of spices around his body. So when the flesh deteriorated, the spices would be released. But he never deteriorated because he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And after 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I've been to that tomb. I've seen it. It's still empty. And the amazing thing about all of this thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I think most people have heard of it. Most people would say, well, yeah, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. But think about this for just a moment. He was dead for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus did not just rise from the dead figuratively, spiritually. His teachings did not rise from the dead. Jesus Christ went to the tomb in a body that was beaten and tortured, and he rose from the dead in a body that was healed but had the scars of Calvary upon him. And he walked out of that tomb after 3 days and three nights. And the stone rolled away, not to let him out, but to show there was nobody there. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. To say that we know it, to say we believe it, is one thing. But this morning, I want to take a statement from verse number 4 of Romans chapter 1, where it says his resurrection declares something to us. To declare something means to make it known clearly to everybody. Look at Romans 1 and verse 4 again this morning, please. This won't be a doctrinal dissertation. It's going to be some preaching this morning, which is not unusual in our church. And it says in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection declares something to us today. First of all, it declares to us who he is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. He was a man. He walked this earth like a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But Jesus Christ was more than just a man. He was a God-man. He was humanity, deity wrapped in humanity. He was, the Bible says, declared to be the Son of God. His resurrection tells us who Jesus is. He was a man, but he was more than just a man. He was a prophet, but he was more than just a prophet. He was a great man, but he was more than just a great man. He was someone who's a great religious leader, but he was more than a great religious leader. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he stepped out of that tomb, he stepped into a category all his own. Nobody like him. Nobody ever been like him. No one will ever be like him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son. Since that tells us something about him and about who he is, we need to put him in that category in our thinking. We need to realize that his resurrection proves his deity. See, there are people who brag a lot about what they're going to do. If you're not a boxing fan, I think boxing is a bloody, horrible, violent sport. Until it's illegal, I'm watching it. The truth is, there was a boxer years ago named Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was big on bragging about when he was going to knock somebody out, what round he was going to knock them out, and all that kind of stuff. And the thing about it was, that's usually what he did. I was a kid living with my grandparents. My grandmother liked, she said, we're going to watch that because I want to see him get his block knocked off. That guy's always shooting his mouth off. I want to see somebody just knock him out. No one ever did. And the truth is, he backed up what he said by his boxing. Well, that was a boxer. The truth of the matter is Jesus Christ said he would rise from the grave. On three separate distinct occasions in his ministry, he told people, I'm going to Jerusalem, I will be crucified, and after 3 days and three nights, I will rise from the dead. So he is who he said he is. It's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to do so. Harry Houdini was a magician of many years ago, and when his mother died, it really upset him, and he wanted to know if there was life after death. All he had to do was read his Bible, he'd have known that. But he thought, then someone took him to a seance where they all hold hands and they all mumbo jumbo and the furniture moves and the lights flash. And Houdini was a magician. And he watched what went on, and then he figured it out. The thing was all a hoax, and that's what it is. It was a hoax. And he went around spending most of his last years of his life proving these seances were a joke. It was just a trick. It's a magician's trick. And he showed them how they did it and the way he did things. But he wanted to know So he told his wife, he said, if I die, I'm going to give you a special phrase. And he said, if you hear this phrase, you'll know that I have spoken to you from the dead. Houdini died in an accident. He had a ruptured appendix. He used to believe that he could take a punch in the stomach from any person, and he would literally stand there and that great big man come up and punch him in the stomach. And somebody caught him unawares one day and punched him, and it ruptured an appendix in him. He died from that and a trick that didn't work out well for him. And after his death, his wife waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and died never hearing the phrase, because Houdini couldn't speak from the grave. Jesus Christ died. He went to the grave and he rose again. Last night on television on the PBS station, they had something called The Last Days of Jesus. Since it was before Easter, I thought, well, maybe this will be something religious that actually makes sense. And I was watching it, and while they were talking about it, they brought theologians in. Always good. And they began to talk about him, Jesus, these theologians. And then they made a statement. He said, well, now his father, Joseph, and I just went, no, they don't know in the Bible any better than that. His father was not Joseph. You say, well, what did they say the rest of the way? Who knows? Those people don't know what they're talking about. Joseph was not Jesus' father. He is the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen. Miraculously conceived in Mary's womb by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. His conception was miraculous. His birth was miraculous. She was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus Christ. His life was miraculous. He walked 33 years, homesick years on this earth and never sinned one time, tempted in all points like as we are, yet never sinned. His life was miraculous. Jesus performed miracles in his life, but he was the one who was the miracle. Jesus Christ, his life was miraculous. His death was miraculous. Yes, they took him and they beat him and they nailed him to a cross. And they wanted him to hang there and suffer and bleed and die, but at exactly the right moment, at exactly the right minute of the Passover lamb being offered, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, dismissed his spirit and gave his life. They didn't take it from him. He forfeited his life. He died on purpose to give us our eternal life and our salvation. His death was miraculous. Then they laid him in a tomb and they rolled a stone in front of it and they put soldiers out in front of it to keep anybody from going in there and stealing his body and saying he rose from the dead. And then after 3 days and three nights, his resurrection was miraculous. See, others had been raised from the dead before that. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. But see, they didn't raise themselves from the dead. Jesus rose his body from the grave. The one who was the giver of life, the word that spoke everything into existence, let his body lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights while his spirit was held captive by the Father in heaven. And after 3 days and three nights, Jesus came and put his own spirit back in his body and raised himself from the dead. And after 3 days and three nights, he sat up and took that napkin off his face and laid aside the grave clothes, and the stone rolled away, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. His resurrection is miraculous. Everything about him is miraculous. Don't you understand this morning? His resurrection declares to us who he is. Don't you dare put him in a category with somebody else. Don't you dare put him on a list with Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else. Don't you dare denigrate the Savior to that. Jesus Christ's resurrection declares he is the Son of God and God the Son and set apart from any and all others. Oh, by the way, his return will be miraculous. He'll come back to the cloud level and the trump will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up in an instant to meet our Savior in the air and return with him to heaven. And after 7 years on this earth of great tribulation, Jesus' return on the second phase will be miraculous. He'll return in clouds with a great assembled host with him, and he'll come back and set his foot down on this earth, and he will rule and reign from David's throne, and his reign will be miraculous. And Jesus Christ is the miraculous one. Now for you and me this morning, here's what that means. His miracle working personage, everything about him for you and me today is for one reason. For you and I to make sure we are trusting this amazing Son of God for our salvation. Jesus did not do all of that. All that did not happen just so he could be a figure in history. He said it himself when he walked this earth, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His resurrection declares to us he's the Son of God. It says to you and to me, you need to come to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Today, I'm afraid religion has confused things in so many people's minds. They think their church will save them. They think their religion will save them. They think their baptism will save them. They think their good works will give them eternal life. They're hoping to earn the good deeds. I try to be a good person. As we always say here, thank you for your morality. But your morality will only keep you out of jail. It won't keep you out of hell. You and I must understand something. Since Jesus did all of that for us to pay for our sins, his death on the cross, clean the slate of my sins when I trust him for my salvation. His resurrection gives me eternal life in heaven. And that's why salvation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must be trusting Christ alone for that salvation. And trusting him alone to save you, then you ask him to be your personal savior. Because the amazing thing is he did all of that to give you the gift of eternal life, but you must receive it as the gift that he has purchased for you. And you must make that decision. Jesus' resurrection declares to us who he is. Jesus' resurrection declares to us what he said. He said he would rise from the dead. It says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 1, please, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus told us he would rise from the dead, and he did that very thing. That's why when he died and they laid him in the tomb, his enemies came to Pilate and said, you better do something now. This guy said after 3 days and three nights he would rise from the dead. You better do something and secure that tomb and make it sure. And so he takes 16 tough Roman soldiers and puts them outside the tomb. Then Pilate takes his Roman seal of guarantee and places it on that tomb that no one touch it without fear of death. And he puts tough Roman soldiers around that tomb to guard it for 3 days and for three nights. Unbeknownst to the enemies, to Pilate, and to others, what they were doing was going to guarantee that Jesus rose from the inside of the tomb out and not the outside of the tomb in. Those soldiers would have given their life to keep anybody from touching that tomb or breaking that seal. And not one of them died because no one ever attempted to take Christ's body out, because his body was in there and came out of his own very much alive. His enemies heard him say he would rise from the dead. His own disciples heard him say it. I'm amazed that there weren't more disciples there, but that's all right. There weren't a lot of people there at his birth either. I understand that. Hey, people, look at me. Most people are missing the big event. And I'm not talking about any championship game. I'm talking about the big events that God has foretold us in his scriptures. Because you see, the same people who were told he would rise from after 3 days and three nights, they should have been there. They should have been standing outside the door saying, he said 3 days, three nights, it's time. And they should have been there waiting for him. But no, they didn't even believe it themselves. His own disciples. But then this morning, you and I have heard that Jesus has risen from the dead. Now listen, that means this. We can believe in him. I'm afraid we've heard too many political speeches. Politicians who make promises and then don't keep them. Or if they try, then they tell them they're crazy. Because no other politician tried that. The truth of the matter is, we've heard speeches. We've all been told things. Have you ever been promised something that didn't come about because that person didn't keep their word? Welcome to the human race. Happens, doesn't it? Jesus promised that he would come out of the grave. He promised. And when he did, that's why when the disciples would preach about Christ after he rose and went back to heaven, one of the mainstays of their preaching was that he'd risen from the dead. You have to understand, they're telling people who never knew about Jesus that not only did he die on the cross, he rose from the grave. Because it means what he said was true. That not only about his resurrection, but anything else he said is true. Now, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus talked about a place of his heavenly Father's, and Jesus was going to go there, and Jesus was going to prepare us a place where the heavenly Father was. That means that's true. Jesus told us about two men who lived and died on the same day. One is simply called the rich man. The other one is called Lazarus. Both men died. Lazarus, a beggar, who laid at the gate of the rich man's house and fought dogs for the trash can scraps that he could eat. And they came and licked his sores on his legs, the dogs. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. Both men died. The rich man wound up in hell, not because he was rich. He wound up in hell because he didn't know Christ. The beggar Lazarus was taken immediately by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And he has been there now for 2,000 years. Do you know what that means? Those two men he told 2,000 years ago about are still alive and still where they were then. One of them is still in hell and asking someone to come and put a drop of water on his tongue and torment it in the fire and flame of hell. Yes, that place is real. There is a place where people go and they spend forever in this place. Didn't say the rich man was wicked. Didn't say the rich man was evil. Didn't say the rich man ever killed anybody. It just said the rich man died not knowing God and wound up in hell. That means what Jesus, he taught that. Jesus did. That means what he taught about that is true. And that beggar Lazarus, who was taken to heaven and in a glorified body and now in a beautiful place where there's no more sorrow, sin, or suffering, that man's still where he was 2,000 years ago, because that's what Jesus said. That means anything Jesus said is true. His resurrection declares to us that what he said is so. Oh, that gives us great comfort this morning. It also gives us great concern, because this same Jesus that told us about heaven and hell and life after death, he also told us he's coming back. And that could be today. And it would be good, wouldn't it? It's the first day of the month. Hey, it's April Fool's. Also known as National Atheist Day. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're an atheist this morning, I don't mean to insult you, but let me try. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to deny the existence of God anymore, looking at the sun and saying it isn't real. The truth of the matter is, dear people, that means everything else Jesus said is so. His resurrection declares to us that what he said is so. We can believe in him. We can take his words and embrace them as our hope and our promise. Jesus' resurrection declares to us that we need to live for him then. Hey, look here. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says now he went to heaven and it's been taken 2,000 years off. You know? For 2,000 years, he's been preparing that place he said that we would go to if you're saved. God made this world in 6 24-hour periods. Jesus has been working on heaven for 2,000 years. Imagine what it must look like. And for 2,000 years, not only has he been preparing this place, for 2,000 years, he has ever lived to make intercession for us. Jesus has not been taking a break for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, he's still serving us. For 2,000 years, he still intercedes for us. For 2,000 years, he's been preparing us a place. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ever liveth to make intercession. For 2,000 years, he's still serving those of his children. So his resurrection declares to us, I need to get my salvation, my fire insurance, and then just sit on my hands. Excuse me. Nope. It means he lives to serve me. Then I should live to serve him. To my Easter friends this morning, and your one time in church is Easter Sunday, I got to load you up for the next 51 weeks so you can get ready for the next round, okay? We call you Easter lilies. You only bloom at Easter. No, never mind. But we're glad you're here. I'm not insulting you, but I'm trying. The truth of the matter is, too many of us, we've got this idea that I know Jesus and he's my Savior and I'm going to heaven and I'm so glad. And then tomorrow's just another day for you. You're just going to get up and do whatever it is you do, live however it is you want to live, go wherever you want to go, live however you want to live with your life. Excuse me. The resurrected Savior lives to serve you. Why don't we get the idea that we ought to be doing something for him? It should, that, to me, He's alive. They sing about it. He came out of the grave. He's alive and living. And right now when I called the name this morning, said, "Dear Heavenly Father, my Savior interceded and said," now that's Mike Johnson. He ain't much, but he needs you, Lord. So Father, please listen to him this morning. And he interceded for me. And he heard me. Oh, and then in the wake hours of the midnight when it's dark and the valleys are deep, and I call his name and I said, "Dear Jesus, I need you today. I need you to help me today. And tonight, dear Lord, I have a lot of needs, but God's people have greater needs. But tonight, could it just take a moment? Could you just minister to the soul and spirit of a tired old preacher? Could you help me tonight, Father, please?" And Jesus said, "Father, he needs some help tonight." He intercedes. You know, he doesn't slumber or sleep. He's ever living to make intercession for us. And we do what with our life? We just go on and do what we do. Live the way we live. Not with a risen Savior. Once these disciples saw Jesus, he appeared to them in the upper room. And when he appeared to them, they said, "Yes, it's Jesus." No, they didn't. They were scared to death. They sits down, he has a meal with them. I was telling my class this morning, "Don't tell me Jesus wasn't a Baptist. First thing he did when he got back to earth was he got something to eat." And there he was. And they sit down, they talk for a while, and he told them, "Let's get busy, fellas. Let's do what we're supposed to do." Not long after that, seven of the 12 quit him, went back to the fishing business. And there's Jesus on the shore. "Children, have you any meat?" Which in English is, "Catching anything?" "Hook them and cook them. What do you got?" And they said, "No, we got nothing." He goes, "Throw your net on the right side of the ship." That's always the best place to put the net, you know, on the right side of the ship. Not the left side of the ship, not the back of the ship, the right side, where you should have been doing right anyhow. And boy, they catch a bunch of fish, pull it up to shore. Jesus, they didn't even cook those fish. Jesus already had them a meal prepared, bread and fish on the fire. And he goes to the leader and says, "Why don't you love me enough to not do this?" He's still working on us, isn't he? Because Jesus wants you to live for him rather than just the big you. His resurrection, living, serving, interceding, caring, should cause me to say, "Now, this day is yours, Lord, today. And what you want from my life today, I'll do what you desire." It should cause us to, it should declare unto us his resurrection, that he who lives for us should cause us to live for him. It's Easter Sunday. Most of us are biologically challenged because we're teaching our children that rabbits lay eggs. Don't worry, you're not going to mess them up. They won't need counseling. They'll be all right. Pretty dumb when you think about it, though. And for most people, he lays plastic eggs. In this day and age, we don't want to boil them anymore, color them like we used to, put little hats on them, run them over the lawnmower 2 weeks later. No, we got to have plastic eggs now. It's a good day. Hey, it's Easter. Spring has sprung and the sap's running. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating a risen Savior, and we're going to go to church and get up and go home and do what? He's alive. Hey, he's alive. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.